in the book of James, chapter 1, and we're going to pick up at verse 9. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 9. And we're going to go through verses 9 to 11, for they all kind of have the same theme, but we will pick each verse apart. So I'll begin at verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grass and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Well, again, the setting at that particular point in time that these words were written, and today are a little bit different. This would imply that there can be no rich people in heaven. And we know riches are a gift from God. And if you use wealth for the goodness of blessing those around you, for expanding the kingdom of God, I do know some wealthy people. I am not one of them. But they use their finances for good. In every situation that they find themselves in, they look for who they can bless, for how they can be used, and they use their finances to augment ministries, to bless people, to help them out in time of need. And I say, wow, I want to be more like that. And we should all look, as it says in Ephesians, to share whatever we have with those in need. And I am of the belief, again, that if you see someone have a need, and you are able to meet that need, and you do not, then it is a sin for you. And again, that's the gospel according to Roger, but I do believe that we are to actively be involved in each other's lives if we can help someone that has a need. And I know there's only so many hours in the day, can't spread yourself too thin, but if God puts someone on your heart, what's that, honey? Okay, well, like I was just talking to Mary Ellen this morning, you know, everybody's got to know their limitations. That's a line from Clint Eastwood's movie. And that is, everybody's got to know their limitations, because you can definitely spread yourself too thin, and then you're not good to anybody, especially yourself. But got to try to, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Is that the old line? All right, anyways, really got way off tangent here. You had something to say, sure.
Yes, Earl and I are doing exactly what you're saying. Out of the sky, the daughter called and said she lost her apartment.
Oh, dear.
So I've had all these plans for graduation with some grandchildren. People come from North Carolina and stay at my house, and they no longer can do that. What the heck?
Did the right thing in the right way. Absolutely. Yep, that's what it is. And that's when we take care of family and anybody that has a need, well, it means opening up a house for a spare room that you have or blessing someone financially. You know, again, you don't have to, what should I do? What should I do? Go ahead and do what you can do. That's what you do. So, anyways. Verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. You know, the fact of the matter is that not everybody on this planet is charismatic. Not everyone is well-spoken. Not everyone is educated. Not everyone fits in with the group. Not everyone is social. Not everyone has education to talk succinctly with those that have education. So to say that there's a lot of regular people on the planet. You get what I'm saying? That there are people with education that have letters after their name. And that's wonderful. And we need people like that in society. Captains of industry. Brilliant preachers and theologians and commentators and pastors. We need people in society like that. But not everyone is called to that level. And so, I remember
remember I was crawling out of a sewer at St. Luke's Hospital, just having done some repair work down there, and I climbed out, and my neighbor is an architect, and I climbed out of this hole, and he was standing right there with four other architects, and I didn't look too good and didn't smell too very good at that particular moment. Rather embarrassing. You know, we've all been called to something different in life. And, we need to rejoice in that. And what we've been called to, what we've been given, is given by the hand of God. So, and the attributes and the education, the morning, where we are at in life is because of what God the Father has given us. So, the brother of low degree. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed about. Where we're at in life, that we don't have a bunch of letters after our name, that we should rejoice in the fact that whatever God has given us, we're doing the best of what He's given.
Amen.
Now, if you use all your free time sitting in front of the TV, I mean, I think God asks us to continue education. And it's in that book right there. And, some people aren't very good at reading. I've been ministering to a bunch of young men, some just out of prison that can't read too well. But you got to do the best you can. Mm-hmm. And pick the newspaper. Read that. Try to read that. Because stuck on words, break them down and ask somebody. You know, that God can help you through this. And if you are willing to go beyond where you are right now, I give you two thumbs up. Nobody's got to stay where they're at. Go on and give you some, just belaboring the point, I think you get it, that it is not a sin in that Old Testament theology to be poor. And the viewpoint was that if you had money, that you were favored by God. Let's take in, I want to look at a parable of Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Let's turn back there, verse 19 I'm going to start at. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. It's thought that he was a leper, by the way. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And I know what this is leaning to, but it is not a sin to have wealth. And it is not a sin or a sign of failure to be a regular person or in poverty or to be homeless. You know that God looks on favorably on the person that is of low degree. It says here, let him rejoice, for he is exalted in God's eyes. In verse 10, but the rich is that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun no sooner rises with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. There was a wind, and I just happened upon this. It's called Sirocco. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. S-I-R-O-C-C-O. And it would quickly come. It was a hot, dry wind, and it would wither vegetation in one day, completely burn it up and dry it up. And that was common in the Mideast. And it's thought that these verses may be pointing to that, a hot, dry wind. We haven't had that problem here in central New York lately. But... James uses some parallels
nature. And this is the very first one that turns up in the book, and there's quite a few after this, making a point, an analogy with something in the natural order. But Jesus made the remark in Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, that it was impossible for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven as it was for the camel to pass through the eye of the needle. And I know this is a little bit of a deviation, but what a fascinating thing I found when I began to look into this. There's three or four thoughts that swirl around this whole idea, can rich people be saved? Can rich people be saved? It is impossible for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle. And at face value, everybody thinks about a camel passing through the eye of the needle. Well, it turns out that there's a gate in Jerusalem that's called the eye of the needle, and it was so narrow, it was that left narrow like that, so that if there was an invasion, that gate would be the last one to be closed and very difficult for intruders to pass through this. But if a camel was to pass through this gate called the eye of the needle, he would have to be completely unloaded of all his earthly baggage. Uh-huh. Okay, well thought. Another, this is interesting. I don't know, I guess I took the wrong code for this. Can't see it? Okay, let me get another one. Somebody's been messing with my markers here. They're all Mexican draw. Okay, here we go. That's Italian for mixed up, by the way. I got that for my wife. All right. Pretty interesting. But you can see that, huh? These two words. It's just a thought. In Greek, that's the word for camel. In Greek, you can see this word. This is the word for see, you get it? Yeah, right.
Well, could be.
Could be.
Using it as spelling test.
Could be. Could be. Somebody just got it mixed up. I don't know. Either way, it is easier for a knot to go through the eye of the needle than this man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Just a thought, anyways. In Aramaic, this word, and who knows, you know, this means thick rope. Thick rope. And it also means camel. Easier for a thick rope to go through the eye of a needle? Just a thought. Interesting. I happened onto that. I wasted probably 45 minutes. Once I started finding all these intriguing things, did some scribe somewhere along the line get the vowels mixed up? Was something mispronounced? Whatever. But it is very, very possible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, it is possible. It is possible. We do know some people that have wealth. They know how to use it. And they're sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they use their money for godly things. But in that day and age, it is the rich people that were persecuting the people of God. It is the rich people that were blaspheming the holy name of Christ. And very often in today's society, you can see the very same thing. People of power, prestige, you know, feel that religion or Jesus, or Christianity, or Christ is the opiate of the masses. That is how poor people, the regular folks, comfort themselves with this idea about life eternal and streets of gold and beautiful mansions. because they've got nothing else down here that stands for anything for them. And so as long as we can just throw them a bone once in a while, just so they can keep their heads above water, they'll be happy. That's the thought. But we have Christ, and we know that He is a living God. We know that the hairs on our head are numbered, and that we are more important than many sparrows that fall to the ground, and that He loves us immensely. He's crazy about us. He cannot wait to see us. And that is our God, and He is not an opiate. He is real and living and true, and He loves us, and He has an amazing plan for each and every one. Praise God. So it seems like James in verse 12, if you're following along, changes gears here. And he said, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him." This is, this term is dokimos, tried, and it is the term for heating up a piece of metal, silver or gold, to seeing what quality it is. Blessed is the man, and it also shows that James is familiar with the language of the Beatitudes. Maybe he was there. And two or three other times in this book, similar thoughts, exact quotes from Jesus turn up. So this is thought to have been one of the first books of the New Testament to be written. So pretty interesting. The crown here refers to the crown given to a victorious athlete with vegetation. I said even celery. I don't know. I guess I'd rather eat it than wear it. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Boy, in this day and age, with full screen TVs, 500 channels on demand, with pictures and vivid literature, anything that could possibly tickle the imagination of a man or a woman, boy, there certainly is enough out there to tempt us. And Satan is really seizing upon that whole thing, that there is plenty of temptation to go around, a man or a woman. And whatever it is that trips your trigger, if you're interested in anything else but pleasing God, if you're yielding to the lure or the tug of the flesh, it is so easy to get sucked in to temptation. And it is something that needs to be endured, because it will come to you, and you need to have your mind made up beforehand how you're going to deal with that. When you happen onto a website or flipping through the channels on TV and you see that image that you know in your mind you don't want in your life, you don't want to be dancing with that idea in your mind at all, you don't want it there because you're happily married, because things are good, you need to know beforehand how you're going to deal with that. When someone comes up to you with something juicy to tell you, "This is what I heard about Susie Q," you've got to hear this to believe it. You need to know what you're going to say and do when that happens. You've got to have lines drawn in the sand already. You say, "Wait, oh, that's okay." Many people come up to me, "Well, you know about..." I say, "You know what? I really don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear it." Okay, all right. And then they acquiesce, and they say, "Well, you're right. That's something I really shouldn't be discussing." Or, "We've got to pray for John Mark, because you know what's going on in his life, right?" "But you've got to pray for him. And by the way, I heard that they stayed up late at night, and the windows are up, and lights are on, and you have no idea what's going on in that apartment." You've got to have your mind made up that you know what you're going to say and do when it comes to that. When that image pops up on the screen, when someone begins to talk to you and conversation goes a little bit too deep, a little bit too personal, when they're a little bit too close, and again, you've got to have your mind made up, because this is how it starts. And spiritual people in the church that have affairs, pastors that run off with church secretaries, it always starts out with them admiring each other's spirituality. You know that. And it progresses into something else that's pointed at sin. So when temptation comes, blessed is the man or the woman that can endure it, because God will allow temptation for each and every one, because it's part of our existence. You got to know how you're going to deal with it when it comes. Not if, but when it comes. Blessed is the person that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. We do know many people that have started this journey, this adventure of faith. They started off really good, and they wound up somewhere else. And they don't grace the doors of a church anymore. They won't name the name of Christ. And they've left their wife, and they've left their children, and they've met up with somebody else. You know, it goes on and on. And this tug, the yearnings of the flesh are so, so strong. And we need to know how we're going to deal with it when it comes. So let no man say, verse 13, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither does he tempt any person. You know, the first thing I thought of when I read this verse, and I guess I really got to give Pastor the credit, because he opened my eyes to that thought, as he's probably, maybe you didn't hear him, but he began to preach from the altar about Pharaoh. And God did what to Pharaoh's heart? He hardened Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh was filled with rage, and he went to chase the Israelites. But what this really refers to, and even so, each and every one of us, that, you know, there's evil out there, and God blesses us and keeps us from evil. The Lord's Prayer, right? We all know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. The evil that's out there for each and every one of you, and for each and every one of you, it's different. But you know what God does? Even I know he's praying this morning, you've been reading his word, you know you've been trusting with him, telling him what you love him. You know what he does? It's like this. He suppresses that evil. He holds it at bay. He keeps it back so that it cannot have you. But when you're flipping through those channels and that scene goes on and you don't turn it off and you begin to dance with those images in your mind, and I gotta put these images up. I'm a man. I know where my edges are. I know what I have to watch. So I'm just giving this an example, and you can fill in the box for whatever it is for you that you need to guard against. But you cannot allow yourself to dance with any of that stuff in your mind, even that new car or that commercial on TV about this woman that she's looking at this beautiful chair that's on Amazon or something, and she's just thinking, wow, I had a chair like that, and all of a sudden she begins to fantasize, and she's sitting in this chair, beautifully dressed, lavishly moving and caressing this chair, and she sees herself having this gorgeous chair that could be all hers, and then this beautiful woman that is her, all made up, holds the baby bottle. Oh, I gotta beat the baby. Yeah, right. Reality sets in. And you begin to dance with those thoughts in your mind, and that's where I'm going with this. That, if you do it once, okay, you do it twice. If you do it three times, God does not suppress you anymore. Because you begin to dance with these ideas. It's something you've got to have. It's something you really want. This woman, why am I stuck with this wife that I've got? Look at the beautiful, salacious women out there in the magazines who could love me so well, and I have my wife. That's your thought. That's the way it goes. Rather than being thankful for the beautiful, fantastic woman, faithful woman that God has given you, you're drooling over some woman that probably can't even make an omelet. You know? Temptation. We have to know where the edges are. We have to recognize what's going on so that we can fight the good fight, so that we do not allow ourselves to be tempted beyond that which we are able to bear. Because God will make a way of what? Of escape. There's always a way out. Famous preacher down south that had national coverage, doing amazing work, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he got caught up with sexuality like that. And he said, I never dreamed they were so powerful. The demons that had come and all the different things, thoughts and ideas that were swirling in his mind, all the women, he could not fight it on his own. And God gave him a way out, and he didn't take it. He danced those images, he danced those ideas until they became concrete reality in his life. And I praise God that this man has been restored, but the loss has been so severe. We need to know where the edges are. We cannot blame God for tempting us, because when we are tempted and we are drawn away in our lusts, it's not his fault. Whose fault is it? It's our fault. We wear that. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. God is so holy. There is no moral depravity in our Father God. There is no moral depravity in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no moral depravity in the Holy Spirit. They are perfectly holy and pure. And we need to believe that, and that needs to be a constant in our life. God cannot be tempted. He has the wherewithal to resist any kind of temptation that would come to him because he draws the lines. In Greek mythology, all these different gods had different weaknesses, and they would like to taunt the creatures on earth and tempt them and make them dance and put them in circumstances to see how they would react. You know, our God is so perfect. He takes no pleasure with that. And if he does allow anything in our life, guess whose good it's for? It's for our good. Not for his satisfaction, other than the fact that he's growing us and making us to be more like Jesus Christ, more like himself, more like the Holy Spirit, perfecting us and maturing us. That's what his plan is. So God continues to suppress the evil and the wickedness in your life until you allow one of these cracks in your armor to be opened up and you begin to dance with evil. And then God will allow that because he is so just. He is so fair to the demonic agents as well, that when you go there, when you continually visit pornographic sites, and after a while he stops suppressing the evil, have your way. Have what you want. You can't hardly afford that old Chevy you want, and you go out and buy a Maserati. Go ahead. Have at it. Have at it. I've tried to help you out. If you want to have your own way, I will allow it. God has a permissible will and a perfect will. And the perfect will is what we want all the time. But if you keep pressing an issue, there are so many things that God will allow. He will allow them to go on in your life, and it won't be fun. God's way is always the best. Always the best. But verse 14, but every man or woman, when they are tempted, when they are drawn away of their own lust and enticed, and when lust has conceived, here we go now again to a natural analogy. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Wow, what a commentary on so many wrecked lives. And I'm sure each and every one of you has someone, a friend or acquaintance or family member, can see. They've gone right down this path. There have been many that we have counseled over the years that saw things that they had to have, things that they could not live without, and they went and they tried it, and they lost everything. And the final chapter is so much worse than where they started, having fulfilled their dreams and desires and lusts, and the things that they lost to get to that point, no comparison whatsoever. Such a terrible, terrible tragedy. I'm sure each and every one of you could agree in so many ways that when you stick with the one, the mate that God has given you, when you love on them and them alone, and when you take care of your family, you try to bless them. Boy, as on this Father's Day that we celebrate today, that your children will rise up and call you blessed as they do their mothers, and come to you for advice and look to you for help. I mean, that kind of satisfaction, boy, is worth a lot. Worth a lot. Amen. So, verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. In the Greek, it is stop being deceived. I love doing that. For every good gift, not temptation, as was talked about in the verses previous, but it is every good and perfect gift that comes from God, not temptation. It comes down from the Father of lights. And this is, again, a reference to the Father that created the stars, not the lights. Many times this word lights refers to angels. Every good and perfect gift that comes from above comes from the Father who created the universe, the galaxy, in all its shining, sparkling, heavenly spheres, with whom there is no variableness. How'd I do? Did I get it? Variableness. Neither shadow of turning. And this is a reference again to nature. The sun at high noon comes straight down. Or shadow of turning before that and after that. The shadows get longer. They change. They change shape. The reference here is the fact that God does not change. He is constant. The same yesterday, the same today, the same tomorrow. He will not tempt. He has the same great gifts that he's willing to pour down on us to those who are open and willing to receive it. And he has gifts for everyone. My little grandson, I'll close with this. Every time he knows that grandma and grandpa are coming down, you got a present for me?
Yeah.
You got a present? Yes, Caleb, we do. We got presents for you. And so it is for our Heavenly Father. He has presents. Each and every one of them, man. To fit wherever it is you're at in your life. To fill whatever need that you have. But if you go chasing after other things, good things, maybe not the best things which Father God has for you, we want God's very best. And those gifts come to him continually. He knows what we need. He also knows what we want. So sometimes we don't get what we want, but we get what we need, which is God's very best. Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord, this time we've had to look into your word. Father God, as we're studying this book, Lord Jesus, written by your half-brother, Father God, it is Christianity 101, and Lord, for each and every one of us, Father, to be reminded constantly, Lord, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should please you, Lord, how we can further your kingdom, and Lord, that is where our hearts want to be, Father God, to please you, Father God, and this is such a good lesson in that, and Lord, I ask that you would drive these points home. Many people say, well, it is just simple, basic Christianity. It is what we need to know each and every day, how to conduct ourselves, how to live our life, Father God.
Yes.
Father, the way we should go about doing this thing, doing our lives down here, Father, which would please you. Lord, I ask for your grace and your mercy and blessings to be poured out without measure on each and every life in this room. I ask for your blessings on services, Father God, for your anointing on the word and the music, Father. You should be glorified in it. We are so quick, Father, to give you thanks and praise. And thank you for all of this. In the amazing name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray to you now. And we will say,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Very nice.
See you this Sunday.
That was good.
And we are late.
Yeah.
It's my fault.
Thank you so much. All right, honey. I'll get it, honey. Move your hand. Oh, great guy.
Thank you.
that's right. And don't tell the truth.
I'm going to leave this here.
All right.
And leave the plant.
Yep.
There.
Okay. If I can get them. These books are for me. Look at this.
Oh, no.
Pastor Rick.
All right. Don't put the window.